I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is the future of America's cities? We'll talk about that tonight. Steve Dace is here to discuss where we are as a nation, where we need to go. Joe Biden, a hilarious light in the mood, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Have you ever been to a place around the planet, where the authorities, the quote authorities, government authorities, judges, cops, mayors, whatnot, that they weren't the real authority in town? Maybe you haven't. You would have to have traveled internationally to have encountered that. I have. I am sad to say I have. And the wild part about that is it exists in this world. Americans who've never left America, we are used to, we're spoiled by living in a country where, yes, we've had crime, we've always had crime, we always will have crime at various levels of power. But there was never a time where the gangs were the cops. Here's an example. The Mexican cartels is actually a great example here. In Mexico, you know, Mexico is made up of, we'll just call them states. It's made up of a bunch of states, just like America. About half of the states in Mexico are narco-controlled states, meaning the cartel from top to bottom, the governor all the way down, they all work for and with the cartel. The cartel is the authority there. Now, so how does that play out? How does that work? Well, if you need a new school, you don't petition your city council. You have to go visit the cartel. Request a new school. If you have potholes in your road, I'm not making this up. This is how real people live in this world. You have potholes in your road. Maybe you need a new road. You have to go ask. Maybe trade favors. Maybe you'll get your favor. Maybe you'll get shot in the face or skinned alive. But the criminals are the authority. And I can't drive this home enough that is how people exist in many, many, many places around the world. And as an American, as Americans, we are so spoiled to just look at that stuff on television, right? We've always just gotten to look at that stuff and thought to ourselves, wow, that would suck. Imagine a place where the cops work for the gangs. Well, it's coming. It's practically here, but it's coming. And to, maybe you think I'm being over the top, just stay with me. There's a video out from New York City. We're going to play it a few different times. But what you're going to see in this video, the illegals are pouring into New York. You should understand this. We've talked about it before on the show. I have many sources in Border Patrol, NYPD, and otherwise that confirm this to be the case. There's all kinds of articles written about it now. Illegals pouring into the country means there are gangs, criminal gangs, pouring into the country. And I don't mean one or two gang members. I'm talking sophisticated gangs, entire gangs crossing the border, coming into various American cities. And they're now doing what they have specialized in the countries they came from. There's stories out there, Venezuelan gangs, El Salvador, you name it, entire sophisticated gangs coming into the cities. Now, that alone is bad enough. If a city like New York was like it was in 1990, it would still be bad to import entire gangs into the city. Now, the city would probably be able to get it under control. You had a mayor that backed the cops, and they'd get things cleaned up, and the judges would actually put criminals away, and the DA would charge them. They might be able to get things under control, but it would still be really, really, really bad to just import an entire organized criminal element. But what's happened now, it's the perfect storm of horror, and you're starting to get a little preview of what it looks like when the authorities in a city in America are no longer the authority. So I'll just let it play first and foremost. Bunch of NYPD cops have to go into one of these shelters where we stuff all these illegals instead of turning them away at the border, deporting anybody. We just bring them all in, stuff them in these shelters, and the cops had to go in there and make an arrest. I want you to watch this video, and as you watch this video, we'll go through it a couple times, just on a 30,000-foot view, for your first time watching it. Who is the authority in this video? Hard to watch, isn't it? It is. It's very hard to watch. And there's so much to take away from this video. First, this is what happens when your nation allows barbarian hordes by the million to flood in to your country. All over the world. You name it. Syria, China, everywhere in South America, Central America, Mexico. The communists who run the United States of America opened up the country, and now we have millions of illegals here, many of them violent, gang members. But setting aside the violence and the gang members, these people, because of the patheticness of the leadership from the federal level, at the state level, at the city level, they believe they are in charge. They believe they run things. And here's one of the things that hit me most. The NYPD has been gutted and is being gutted. I've warned about this endlessly, and now the time is here. You see, NYPD has been full of wonderful cops. But you tell cops they can't arrest bad guys, they can't hurt someone. If they accidentally hurt someone, they go to prison for life. You tell cops that guy you just arrested, we're not even going to charge him bail money. We're just going to let him right out of jail for him to rape and murder again. What happens is the good cops retire. The good cops leave. And the NYPD has so many cops retiring, they're forcing them to schedule their retirement. Well, that's bad enough because those cops go become cops somewhere else, or they go into the private sector. That's bad enough, but maybe worse is the cops have to be replaced. You need so many cops in uniform in NYPD. And what do you get? Well, you have to lower the standards to find anyone who's a turd who wants to be a cop in New York City. So you end up with dumb cops, bad cops, corrupt cops, useless cops. Look at this woman cop. I want you to look at this. This is an NYPD police officer. Look at this woman. Sit back and look at it. Producer, please put it on the screen. Look at this woman. Can you believe that? That's an NYPD police officer. Imagine you're being chased by a murderer with a machete. And you get on the phone. Hey, police, it's the 911, help! And that is who shows up in a cop car to save you. And look, I don't want you to think I'm just picking on her. She looks like she should be working TSA, hat hanging off, swinging the baton around. I don't even want you to just look at her. What about the other cops who can't even cuff the suspect? You got 19 cops in there, one illegal they're trying to put cuffs on for God knows what, and they can't even cuff the guy. Why can't they cuff the guy? Are they bad cops? Maybe. Is it because they know if they accidentally sprain his wrist or twist a pinky, they'll be sent to prison? Maybe. But either way, it doesn't really, the why is not even that important. The point is that America's cities, because of DAs who won't charge criminals, because of an open border, America's cities are slowly but surely being taken over by the criminals. And that seems so insane, doesn't it? That's something that happens somewhere else. That's something that happens in Mexico somewhere. But it's not. That's something that now happens in the United States of America. And look, I know you've been shouting about this forever. I've been warning about it for years. This was me back in 2021 with Sean. A concern I've had, and please tell me if I'm wrong on this, is that who you're going to lose are the best officers, the smart, talented people, because smart, talented people have options. They don't have to get dragged through the mud every day, and you're going to be stuck with a bunch of big city police departments that are full of turds, either inexperienced rookies or losers who can't do anything else, and then you are going to have a corrupt, bad police department because all the talent left.
It's happening across the country, you know, whereas at one time you're taking that top 5% of applicants are going to be the guys that get into a police academy just to fill vacancies. Now it's dropping down in that 30% and 40%. And so, like you said, you're going to have people that I wouldn't necessarily say shouldn't be in the profession, but they're not the most qualified that are getting in.
And here we are. Millions of illegals, cops not qualified to be there, DAs who won't prosecute criminals. And our cities are burning. And maybe you're sitting there saying right now, maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't care, screw the cities. Jesse, I'm glad to be in the country. That's a very common thing to say on the right, and I'm not judging you for that. But I will say this. Cities are part of our country. I personally love them, so I admit that. I love New York City, right? I have a personal affinity for it. But cities are not only part of our country, they're what goes on the billboard of your country. They don't have my little neighborhood on billboards in Tokyo telling people to come to America. What do they have? Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, come see New York City. Having your cities be violent, drug-addled, criminal-run cesspools is bad for the entire country. It is shocking how bad it's gotten and how fast it's gotten. And you have these lame Democrats now with these half-hearted calls, Eric Adams. Well, I mean, we need to get them out of the city.
And the federal government has a job to determine if a person is here as a migrant or asylum seeker, should determine if they're found guilty and they do their time, they should be deported. You should not be allowed to walk the streets of the city of New York if you are committing any form of criminal behavior that's impacting the quality of life of New Yorkers.
It's too late. It's too late. You're a Democrat, Eric Adams. You support this. You can get up and give all the speeches you want. This is what you support. If you're a Democrat voter, you support this. You voted for this. You see Boston? State pays $16 for breakfast for illegals, $17 for lunch, and $31 for dinner. Where are these people going, Red Lobster? $31 for dinner. The citizens in Boston, though, guys, listen, this is great news. They've had enough, and they're mad about it.
It's okay to help, but I don't think that's the place to do it because kids and family go and enjoy.
As a community, voicing our opinion and our concerns for the youth center and the elderly programs going down there, and it just seemed like our voices weren't heard.
We wanted to give a clear message, right, that you're taking away resources from not only from Boston, but Massachusetts for illegal immigrants who pay nothing into our taxes.
We care about our immigrants, brothers and sisters, right? But it has to be a fair balance. Mm-hmm. How can you tell people that was down at Mass and at Cass, Mass Ave, for over 10 years, there was no money for them, and now you found money?
I do want to correct that gentleman, though, just with all due respect. He said, I feel like our voices aren't heard. No, you don't understand. Your voices were heard. They heard you loud and clear. The people of Boston, of New York, Chicago, L.A., Oakland, you name it, the Democrats in power heard your voice when you went and voted Democrat every time, because that's what I've always done. That's what Mom did. And Democrats have heard your voice. They understand you are too weak and stupid to ever go out and vote for change. And so you voted for this, and you enjoy it. The sad part is we all have to sit back and watch America burn because of your rampant stupidity. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have to deal with some military matters that are important next before we deal with those. Let's deal with Lone Star Transfer. Well, you don't have to deal with Lone Star Transfer. You just make a phone call. Do you have a timeshare you don't want? Are you stuck in one? Sucks, doesn't it? It hurts stroking that check every year, especially now when we're all cutting costs. We got to cut here, we got to cut there. What do? Call Lone Star Transfer. What they will do is legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. They are successful 99% of the time. This is a family business with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to take my word for it. They guarantee it in writing. 844-310-2646. You're not stuck. Stop paying the annual fees. Make a phone call and set yourself free. All right? We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what I find criminal about not just our government and the military, and we'll get to all that, is the lack of a feeling of duty. Don't you feel like, even if it's in a small way, don't you feel like you have a duty to your country? I've always felt that way. Since I was a child, I don't know whether it was how I was raised or whatnot, I always felt like I had an obligation to help my country, even if it was in some small way. It's always consumed me. And it blows me away that the people who run the country don't feel this at all. A lot has been made, especially today, about Joe Biden's comments. He runs up to a bunch of supporters, or a bunch of reporters, actually, same thing, reporters/supporters. And he talks to them about how, well, we shouldn't be taking time off for Ukraine.
Is there anything you can do to get ammunition to the Ukrainians without a supplemental from Congress?
No, but it's about time they step up, don't you think? Instead of going on a two-week vacation. 2 weeks. They're walking away. 2 weeks. What are they thinking? My God, this is bizarre.
Joe Biden has spent 39% of his presidency on vacation. And I know he's old, obviously run down, clearly mentally he's not there. But imagine, just imagine for a moment, the feeling of obligation you would have if you took over the helm as president of the United States of America. You would feel such an obligation to your country, right? To show up, to be there 39% of the time. Remember Afghanistan? Remember the Afghanistan withdrawal? A lot of people forget this about the Afghanistan withdrawal. A lot of people remember the withdrawal, but they forget that while Afghanistan was falling apart, Joe Biden was on vacation, then Press Secretary Jen Psaki was on vacation, Secretary of State Antony Blinken was on vacation. While we yanked out of Afghanistan and people were falling from planes, splattering onto runways, all the leadership of the United States of America just heading to the beach. Oh, is Afghanistan going bad? Man, that sucks. Pass the SPF 30. These people have no remorse about what they've done to the country. They feel no obligation to the country. Speaking of Afghanistan, there's a new book out. And people like you, people like me, we're very upset that there's been no accountability for what happened in Afghanistan. Think about how insane it is to have something that bad, that embarrassing, cost of lives, and no one resigned. No one in the government, no one in the military, nobody resigned. Well, this is from the new book, quote, "No one offered to resign in large part because the president didn't believe anyone had made a mistake. Ending the war was always going to be messy." 13 of our warriors got blown up by a suicide bomber because they were guarding a civilian airport instead of on a secured airbase. That's why those people died. You know that, right? Our troops died because we had them standing out in front of an airport, just terrorist bait. And Joe Biden and the people in the White House looked at that and said, "Wah, cost of doing business." No feeling of duty, of obligation to their country at all. We killed 10 innocent people in response to that suicide bombing. You remember that? 6 of those people were children. We sent a Reaper drone after 10 innocent people and blew them up, and nobody even got reprimanded for it. 10 innocent people gone. And no one in the White House, nobody, no one in the military, no one looked around and thought, "Man, that's on me. You know what? I'm going to resign." No feeling of duty, no feeling of obligation. Look, let's just get right down to it. No patriotism. I talk about it all the time. It's really what it comes down to. Patriotism is not a hokey thing. It's not some eye-rolling cliche thing. It is the essential element for a nation, a love of country. Because without it, if you don't have that, if your military leaders don't have it, if your citizens don't have it, if your president doesn't have it, you're finished, because they will never make decisions for the best of the country. Why would you do that if you don't love the place? This is where we're at now. And that brings me to this. Speaking of the military, just really quickly, understand that proxy wars are proxy wars for a reason. The Soviets were helping the North Vietnamese army in Vietnam. We knew it, they knew it, yet the Soviets went to painstaking lengths to keep it quiet and not advertise it. We decided to do it back to them in Afghanistan when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, sending in weapons, all kinds of things. And we went to painstaking lengths to keep it quiet. Why? Well, you're fighting a proxy war so you don't have to fight a real war between two big boy powers, you know, millions of people dying. And that has always been understood. That's why you fight a proxy war. Well, I should say that has always been understood until now. Now that the United States of America is run by a bunch of children, Republican and Democrat, who don't seem to understand at all how the world works, we now have politician after politician after politician getting ready to get us in a hot war with a power that has the most nuclear weapons on the planet. Please stop going on television and bragging about how many Russians American munitions have killed.
If we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over Ukraine. We will lose the war, and we could be fighting in Eastern Europe in a NATO ally in a few years. Americans won't like that.
We are going to be fighting in Eastern Europe because you keep talking about how much we're helping Ukraine. We've shifted the Overton window so badly that people accept this as normal. Shut up about what we're doing, please. That probably made you uncomfortable too, but I'm right. All right. Now's the time to make preparations. Not radical preparations, normal preparations. Like making sure you have things for if things get bad. Things like gold coins, silver coins, making sure you have precious metals as part of your retirement, your 401k or IRA. How do you do that, though? How do you insert gold coins in your 401k? I don't know. Oxford Gold Group does. They will handle everything for you, and they make it easy. They make it easy to understand. In fact, right now, you might qualify for up to $2,500 in free coins, but let them handle it. Just call them. Say, Oxford, help. I want it as part of my retirement. I want you to send me some gold or silver. What do I do? This is for normal people to make preparations. Call them, please. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should.
That should go well. I'm sure that'll go really well. And remember that crazy crackpot theory about the great replacement? About how they're just going to replace Americans with people loyal to the regime? What a bunch of nutballs. Anyway, joining me now is the great Steve Dace, host of The Steve Dace Show. Steve, the bad news is Dick Durbin wants that, but the good news is the GOP in the House, they're going to put their foot down and this will never happen, right?
For the next time, have your producer give me a heads up you're going to blindside me with foolishness like that, if you don't mind. All right. Is it April Fool's? I thought it was only February 20th. Anyway, here's the thing. Here's an unfortunate sequence of events. Begin by rainbow jihading and wokeifying the military. Step one. Step two, then use a poison as a compliance test to weed out people who still hold on to the traditional military culture, traditional Americana, maybe even traditional Christian religious belief. Use this as a test to weed them out, to push them out when they refuse to take these poison pokes and injections, so that you have now winnowed this down to the people that you know, if the time comes that you'll tell them, hey, I'm going to need you to fire on your own countrymen, you know they're willing to do it. Because if they're willing to let you fire on them by injecting a mass poison into them, then I don't know what the resistance to firing on fellow Americans would be. Step three is what you just heard from Dick Durbin. And by the way, this has historical precedent, as you know, Jesse. The Romans did this. When their bureaucratic empire became too vast and too wide for them to police, and they became too fat and complacent as Roman citizens, they began incorporating non-Roman citizens into the Roman army. Particularly of the Germanic tribes, because they were some of the best warriors that the Romans encountered as conquerors. Until one day, a group of Germanics called the Visigoths came over the wall one day of Rome to sack the city. And a funny thing happened. Those exact same Roman soldiers who weren't actually Romans, they reversed the jersey right there on the battlefield. Had a family reunion. A lot of them were also Germanic. Had a family reunion right there with good old Uncle Visigoth and helped the sacking of Rome and the end of the Roman Empire. There's nothing new under the sun, brother. Just new people under the sun who haven't heard this stuff yet.
It is frightening, and it's so true. This has happened time and time again historically, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. And you always look back, Steve. It always kills me. You look back, or at least I do. I read these stories about the very true story you just said about the Goths and whatnot, and you say to yourself, with the 2020 hindsight, you say to yourself, what were they thinking? I mean, surely someone knew, right? Yeah, how could you not see it coming? No country would be that crazy. Thank goodness we learned that lesson. And then you watch your own country do it, and it's just staggering to me.
It is the prophet of the Old Testament, Hosea, says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And this whole conversation is an example of it. It's also an example of what is often called a black swan event. And what's a black swan event? Well, let me give you an example. It's something that'll probably happen at some time, sometime this year, because we let a whole bunch of people we can't account for over our border from countries like Syria, right there on the Rio Grande there, Jesse. And then what happens, you let a bunch of these people in and it was okay. You deny that you were doing it. And then it turns out just a few of them end up wanting to be the next Muhammad Atta. And the very same people that said it was okay to let them in, or we weren't letting people in, the border was never open, will now turn around and claim that we should have seen this coming all along. How could we dare do this? How did we not see this coming in hindsight? That's the very definition of a black swan event.
Steve, I know you've seen the video. Everyone has seen the video of a bunch of barbarians who just crossed over the border, jumping a bunch of NYPD cops as they're in the illegal holding center. And every part of it was horrible, from the cops who look like they should be working security at Spencer's to the barbarian hordes who very clearly understand they run the place. The cops are so afraid of hurting one of the poor illegals, they can't even get a single guy cuffed with any amount of force at all. I've tried to explain to people in these cities that these cities are being taken over and conquered, and the NYPD, they're not the authority anymore. And there are cities around the world, ugly, ugly cities, where that is the case, where the gangs actually run things. And Americans don't want to accept that that's happening now, here.
There was a special election last week, as you well know, Jesse, in New York District 3, yeah. George Santos's district there. He won that race by 7 points. The Democrats won it by 8. The biggest swing in that district was in Queens. There was something like a 60-point swing in Queens from when Santos won it in 2022 to when the Democrats won it last Tuesday. Why does that matter? Well, where did a lot of these people, these illegals that Texas and Florida shipped to New York, Jesse, where did a lot of them get dropped off? Queens. So if the people of Queens were literally invaded, knew they were invaded, and then turned around in droves and voted for the people that allowed the invasion, I don't know what you do with that at that point. I don't know what you do with that. And you can fly American flags, you can sing the national anthem. I mean, you can have the accoutrements of being American, but you've really given up at that point on any substance of it. And I know, I think this is very difficult for a lot of people who think our way to consider this, but this is truly where we are. Or, you know, perhaps what they could have done is they could have played the video of the NYPD dance troupe. The music that soothes the savage beast, maybe played that video, and they would have realized, wow, I mean, what a enlightened, progressive place this is. We should stop acting like thugs and start passing the peace pipe. And then if you think of the actual cops that are in there, Jesse, what incentive would they have to act with the force necessary? Because if they do, and there's any kind of an accident, if they act at all, one of these illegals slips and falls, breaks his neck or something, snaps his spine, that guy's life is over, man, forever. All right, he's a national cause celeb. Obama comes out of retirement to give a speech. His life is over. Generations of his family are over. And so you, on one hand, the cops that want to do their jobs can't. The cops that can't do their jobs, we make them celebrities. And then the people won't do their job. They ended up just voting in droves for more of what has already invaded their neighborhoods. At that point, you want to talk about black swan events. I just don't know what you do at that point.
Steve, along those same lines, you jogged my memory about a story of mine from Christmas time, and I'm just give me a second to tell it because I want to hear your take on the mentality. I'm still dumbfounded by this interaction. So we're in this big group, we don't know each other, we're getting to know each other, we're sitting at the table, wife and I are there, and there's a couple liberal white women from Chicago there, and they're bragging about Chicago and how great Chicago is. And you know their new commie mayor, Brandon Johnson. They lovingly called him BJ. I kid you not, like he was one of their best friends. BJ this and BJ that. And one of the other gentlemen at the table, on my life, it wasn't me, Steve. I know you're going to think it was me. He gets all huffy and puffy about Chicago, and he says, well, what about the crime? It's a friggin' war zone there. Why would I come to Chicago? People getting shot all the time. And Steve, on my life, crossed my heart and hope to die. She got all indignant, and she looked at him, and she said, well, yeah, if you come to Chicago, you might get robbed, but you won't be targeted. And that was her defense. Steve, you can't save someone like that, right?
Jesse, we had a midterm election in 2022, brother, and I mean, I looked at the polls. I looked at my own ability to forecast elections, past history, where approval for the Democrats and their policies were. And I showed up to help anchor our election night coverage here at The Blaze, and I wore this like Tiger Woods obnoxious red button-down shirt for Championship Sunday like Tiger. And I got the tub of corn. All right, I'm ready. I'm going to sit here. We're not going to watch a red wave, brother. We're going to watch a red wedding as normie voters. Trump's not on the ballot now, so his mean tweets aren't an excuse. Straight up, do you like the direction of the country or not? And, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the body count. Not to mention, of course, people are just incredibly pissed off and angry and frustrated in the aftermath of what the government did to them during COVID and the repercussions of that that are still ongoing to this very day. And then I sat there, and by the end of the evening, Jason Whitlock and Michael Malice almost got in a fist fight. I think I probably frustrated Glenn Beck. I think was as angry with me as he's ever been, because I'm angry at myself. I'm angry at the results. We're all turning on each other. We all need a smoke break, maybe even a joint. Why? Because normie America never showed up, Jesse. Normie America was like, hey, I got both seasons of Tiger King in. I still could, you know, my kids went to Zoom school. And what the spirit of the age has perfected here is what the Shycoms figured out. What the Shycoms figured out after Tiananmen Square, they realized we cannot afford another put down of resistance like that on the global stage. The industrial West will turn against us right when they're rebuilding our economy for us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually give the average Chinese normie the accoutrements of modernity. They're going to get technology. They're going to get to watch TV. Now, of course, we're going to control all that kind of stuff, but we won't even let the other stuff that would challenge us in, so they won't know what they're missing. They will have just enough modernity, just enough agency that they're fat and happy and wouldn't have any incentive whatsoever to push back on us like they would if it was a zero-sum game. And that is what they have figured out to do here in America. In suburbs like where I live, there's just nowhere, I'm telling you right now, they could put Donald Trump in a stockade and not one more suburban neighbor of mine is going to reach some breaking point where they're going to be like, you know, I didn't like the guy before, but this is just a bridge too far. They didn't speak up when they masked their kids. They didn't speak up now that they're castrating their kids. They're comfortable, to quote the great prophets, Pink Floyd, brother, they are comfortably numb. And they figured that out. They figured out if we give them just enough air, just enough wampum, we can control them. And that's what's going on. And this conversation with this normie woman that you had over Christmas is just the embodiment of that.
Golly. Steve, I want some good news. How about the best of news that comes around Easter time? I understand my man has a book coming out. What is it?
I appreciate that. This is really the only good news we have left, but it is, as you said, the best news. I was tasked a couple of years ago by my publisher with, after Rush's passing, with trying to see if I could help fill that gap with children's books for our kids to pass on our heritage as a people. And so I wanted to put my own spin on it. And so we started a series of books. It's a trilogy of books called, for America's Christian Heritage, called Answering the Question Why. We did Why Thanksgiving. If you're going to start talk about America and it start right at the beginning. Well, now we're going to what actually inspired the Pilgrims and the Puritans themselves with why Easter, Jesus died for us so we could live forever. It lays out the totality of the gospel story going back to Moses and the Old Testament in a way little kids would understand, and ties that into how those ideals and creeds, how they inspired the founding of our country, so that your children both understand the exceptional country that they are about to inherit, but then also the responsibility they have to then pass that on to the next generation. Very proud with how this turned out. It releases on March 5th. People can pre-order now on Amazon if they would like to do that.
Why Easter? Man, at a time where we need that message more than anyone has ever needed it in this country. Steve, my brother,
amen.
Appreciate you as always. Go get it. He's right. It's hard, right? Ah, we'll get by. Always get by. All right, we have a lot more. Let's do something first. Let's clean up our livers. Look, I'm going to be honest with you right now. You know what I had for breakfast? It should have been a superfood smoothie or something like that. I actually had, there's this local breakfast place I love. It has two biscuit halves, and then they put onions and sausage and jalapenos. They drop them on the biscuit halves. Then a couple poached eggs, and then they pour queso over the top of it. It's fantastic. Do you have any idea how terrible that is for your body? My liver needs help. All of our livers need help. Alcohol, toxins, all the garbage we put in our bodies. Our livers are our body's filtration system, so help your liver. Drug-free. That's what Liver Health Formula is. Drug-free, a natural way to help your liver do what it does. That's keep you healthy and alive. Go to GetLiverHelp.com/Jesse, because that also gets you a free bottle of omega-3s. GetLiverHelp.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, let's check in today on the President of the United States of America and how he's doing and why so many people like me seem to think they're not going to run this guy for president. Here was the President of the United States of America once again being defeated by the stairs of Air Force One. That is so painful to watch the level of focus it takes the president to walk up a set of stairs. It's painful enough. President's now being asked, hey, are you going to run with Newsom?
Yes, sir. Going to California. Is this about coming up with a plan B for 2024? Does Gavin need to stand by?
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm looking for, I'm looking at you. We're looking at you.
Sir,
hey, whoa.
This is why people think Michelle Obama's running. Here was Slater with Joel Gilbert.
Michelle is a political animal. She's been, as you saw in the trailer, she's been copying everything Barack did before he ran for president. She has a voter registration organization like Barack did. She got $26 million from George Soros called for When We All Vote, like Barack had Project Vote. Michelle wrote two autobiographies, which are political documents. They're all these BS stories about racism and gender. Why would she do that? Michelle was the keynote speaker. She introduced Joe Biden at the 2020 convention, just like Barack did for John Kerry. The keynote speaker is the person that they give that slot because they're probably going to be their nominee at the next convention. She's more political than Barack. She's a better speaker than Barack. In fact, both Barack and Michelle had a professor, a law professor at Harvard named Charles Ogletree. And they asked him about Michelle and Barack because he taught them in different years. And he said, between Barack and Michelle, I would have thought it would have been Michelle to run for president and not Barack. So she loves politics. That's who she is. And I do expect Biden to be moved out. Nobody wants Biden, not the Democrats, not any group. And Michelle is the obvious replacement. She's the best loved Democrat. She has the most support, she has the name recognition, and she's the most beloved person, you know, in the country. So I think it's going to happen sometime between now and possibly all the way up to the convention.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, I hope not. All right, we have Light in the Mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And we live in a time where we're all getting cheaper, right? I don't like to call myself a cheapskate. I like to call myself frugal. I'm really not a cheapskate. I tip well as I can. I try to be as generous as I can, but I do yell at the kids if they turn the air conditioning down too low or leave the doors open. I am a dad, what can I say? But I see videos like this. This is from 2012, this was under Obama. I see videos like this, and I just want to send them to every person in my life who's ever called me cheap. You call me cheap? Look at this.
It's a big waste of money to buy food at the snack bar or concessions in any movie theater. By bringing my own snacks, I save at least another $10. My lucky day, popcorn. Clean out this cup, it'll be good as new. I know this movie theater gives free refills with their popcorn and soft drinks, so I found a few containers in the trash and surprised my loving wife. Can't beat free. Surprise.
Oh, look at you.
And the straw, too.
Oh, I was just going to ask you for the straw. I thought you probably wouldn't have gotten one.
Oh, come on.
Well, nice. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Aren't you lovely?
Yes, I am.
You know, I have this friend. He told me this story once, and it really reminds, the video reminds me of that, as I let you go here. He was talking about how they used to go party all the time in college, you know, do stupid things college kids do, and they didn't have any money. And they were at this big house party one time, and they didn't have any money, and they had run out of beer. And so they were just kind of standing around. And at one point in time, his friend leaves them, goes and bounces around the party, and comes back with a full glass of beer, solo cup full of beer. And they said, where'd you get the beer? Are you holding that? You got beer? And he said, no. He told them what he had done. He had gone around to all the empties that were sitting around in the party, poured what was left over in the solo cup. I just wanted you to know that, because I know that. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.